L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When it's the dog days of summer, that means just one thing. Time to clock out, sit back, relax.
Shut up!
Yeah.
All right? How about that?
Sorry about that. It's time to lock in for another edition of Moneyline with the two best hosts on radio, Donnie Wrightside.
But it is what it is. Otherwise, if we just ran off a spreadsheet, there'd be no gambling, there'd be no sports books, because everybody would just press buttons and win every single thing they absolutely bet at that point.
And Kevin Walsh.
Even if the matchup's a little worse, Donnie, odds are he's going to bounce back because he's just been too good kind of right now, and he let an opportunity pass him by.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, SiriusXM Channel 159.
And away we go here on a hump day, Wednesday morning, right here on Moneyline. It's Donnie Wrightside, and that means it's a solo mission. And boy, oh boy, the last two nights in Major League Baseball have been profitable for your boy. And also, sometimes you can be real profitable, guys, right, by winning a game or two. Like, ooh, that's my best bet. Let me just bet that and watch one game. And sometimes you can bet like 30 different players, it feels like, and have success and also a lot of fun. And that's what's taking place over the past two nights. Round robins on RBI props were profitable yesterday. Also hit a profit boost, or should I say an odds boost, on the FanDuel Sportsbook with Shohei Ohtani to record a base hit, along with my guy Mookie Betts. So fun stuff. We're going to get to that Major League Baseball card today. We'll take a look at those pitchers we want to fade. We'll take a look at those pitchers that we want to back. And more importantly, some of those batters that can absolutely do some damage. But you know this. Hot Topic's got to roll. The best hour of your day is officially underway. It's your boy DRS. It's SiriusXM. It's Channel 159. And how about this? Look, you've been hearing me talk about this topic for multiple segments, over multiple days, over multiple weeks this offseason. I don't know what's going on in Cincinnati. Got no clue. It's apparent that the owners in Cincinnati, I should say the owner, the family, the Brown family, doesn't really do the same things that the NFL does, per se, which is why maybe they haven't won a Super Bowl championship. They're never all in with their players. They're all about the bottom line. And as much money as they can make as an ownership group, they're going to make. Now, can I fault them for that? No. That's just the rules of the game at this point now. But we are taking a look at a Bengals organization that is embarking on a season where they hope they're going to do big things. And I know it sounds like a broken record here. T. Higgins is signed. He's under the franchise tag. He's going to play this season and then be cut loose by the Bengals. So he's not apparently a part of their future, even though he's a really good football player. But he's going to play this year. We were led to believe that Ja'Marr Chase was holding out for more money. Every single wide receiver in his spot, which again, we're still waiting a little bit on Brandon Ayuk out there on the West Coast with the San Francisco 49ers to see where he's going. But everybody is getting paid in Ja'Marr Chase. Is a franchise, hear me out, a franchise wide receiver that's young, that's in his prime, will continue to dominate the NFL landscape as long as you have Joe Burrow healthy in that pocket and him at wide receiver. But it's apparent they only care about the bottom line, which if you are caring about the bottom line, Mike Brown and the Bengals, what are we actually doing here? So if you sign Ja'Marr Chase this year, to market value for his extension, which let's just say will be the next 4 to 5 years, whatever it might be. you are going to get a discount, even though it's a ton of money. But they'll look at it and say, like, I'll pay him, what's he worth, $4, $5 million? I don't even know what his contract is this year, but it's a few million dollars, not $20, $25, $30, or $35 million. But understand this, Cincinnati Bengals, if you want to wait till next year, he will reset the market to be the highest paid wide receiver in the history of the sport. If you sign him now, you can probably get him under that discount. So doesn't that make sense for future bargaining chips to get that taken care of? And also, I can't harp on this point enough. We've all been in an area where, whether it's high school, whether it's college, whether it's on a professional level, I don't even mean professional being a sports career, just being in an office setting. If you work in that environment, you want to be appreciated. And how are you appreciated? It's mainly on compensation. Being treated equally and fairly, yes, that goes a long way. Being treated with respect, absolutely, I hear you. But it's all about the almighty dollar. How can you be Ja'Marr Chase? And let me understand this from his camp side, too. Coming into this season, which means the minute the Super Bowl was over, Ja'Marr Chase with the new season, let's just say not new season, that's not the right word to use, the new calendar in the NFL begins, he was eligible for an extension and has wanted that. Has skipped OTAs, has gone to practice, but just being watched at practice at this point, disappearing at times, not being at practice, but not being fined. Because I guess in this day and age, if you're a good football player, you can sort of skirt those fines and say, well, I'm not just going to stay home, like, you know, a couple states away per se and work out. I'm actually going to show up to the facility and not participate, but therefore you can't fine me, which is crazy. If I was an owner and you were doing that, I'd still fine you anyway at this point. But the case in point is, it should never have gotten to this level with Ja'Marr Chase. How are you expecting him to be the wide receiver you want him to be, knowing he is massively underpaid? Every day he shows up to work, he has animosity towards that organization that you didn't pay him. Now, this would be completely different if NFL owners across the league took a stance and said, we will not renegotiate with a football player until he's in the last year of his contract. Then if he wants to hold out, and if he wants to create a stink, it's understandable. Hopefully, we'll be able to pay that guy. But how does Ja'Marr Chase show up when, again, outside of Brandon Ayuk, who I do feel is going to come to an agreement with the San Francisco 49ers, and if he doesn't, that's a completely different story. But let's just say Brandon Ayuk signs for anywhere between $25 to $30 million a year on a long-term extension. Let's just say we take that out of case, and that leaves Ja'Marr Chase. You're expecting him to play football at a high level and only focused about what's happening on the football field when you refuse to pay him, that the star he is and you think he will be, it just doesn't make sense. Everybody around the NFL has found money for their young superstar quarterback, has found money for those wide receivers that can be so dominant to help out that said quarterback and take you to the promised land, which means deep run after deep run after deep run into the playoffs. I still don't understand it. Now, from a Ja'Marr Chase perspective, what was your agent actually doing for you this offseason? And how did it get to a point where, what were you actually holding out for? Because I need to hear the player and the agent's side of this argument. Were you negotiating in good faith with Mike Brown of the Cincinnati Bengals? Or was it, you have a couple years left on your contract, I don't want to sign you. All right, well, if you're going to force me to try to give you a new contract, we're going way under market value, like $15 million a year or $20 million a year, as opposed to $35 million a year. You want to settle early. You want to get yourself some financial stability. You want to have more money than you can ever spend at that point. I'll give it to you here. We're not giving you market value, because I would love to hear that. Or is it like, okay, Ja'Marr, we're not going to reset the market. We're going to put you in the ballpark now of CeeDee Lamb and Jefferson. If you want $30 million a year, we got it on the table. But I have a feeling like he is negotiating, talking about the agent for Ja'Marr Chase, with a brick wall at this point, where Mike Brown is saying no. And you remember the quote that came from Mike Brown, the owner of the Cincinnati Bengals, earlier? You know what? The time to negotiate is in the offseason, as if they weren't in the offseason all the way along up till training camp began. But now the fact that Ja'Marr Chase is going to come back and play in the opener, I don't understand where any leverage is, because hear me out on this now. If you are the Bengals, you still have under contract for a few more years. Do the same thing next year. Yeah, we're not negotiating with you. We're going to wait and do you exactly like T. Higgins. Not going to negotiate. When you come up in that final year, we'll slap that tag on you. And after that, we're not going to pay you. We'll move along, and hopefully we have another solid wide receiver that can take your place. If you want to win Super Bowls, this is not the way to operate your business. If you want to save money and put more money in your bank account, this is the way you operate. Because no matter what happens in the NFL, you will make money as an owner. But treating your players with respect, both in decorum and financially, goes a long way down the list. Now, we got a lot more hot topics to get to, but I wanted to get Ja'Marr Chase out of the way right away here on Moneyline. The best hour of your day, people. It's already underway, and I'll be right back after these words.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here, the best hour of your day. Absolutely, people. It's Donnie Wrightside right here on Moneyline. Solo mission. Sirius XM Channel 159. I promise you we'll get to the bottom of being able to get some phone calls through here. Still working on some new technology. Hopefully that gets clicked back into gear, because I miss my guys out there in the streets, man. I know you guys are listening on a day-to-day basis here with us and having fun, but I do miss those calls out to the public. Hopefully sooner than later, that will be rectified here. But if we are keeping it in the wide receiver marketplace and talking about players that should be maybe signed, should maybe not have been signed, should maybe be on the football field but are not, that's Odell Beckham Jr. of the Miami Dolphins. If you haven't been paying attention, yesterday, it was cutdown day in the NFL. Over 1,000 players were released from their respective franchises, and now will be free agents, probably not signed, some going back to the practice squad, others being released and will be waiver claimed by other teams figuring that they can help their football team out. But Odell Beckham Jr., last year, this is really interesting to me because I like the move. The Ravens were in need of a quality veteran wide receiver. And they thought they were going to get that out of Odell Beckham Jr. They didn't get that last year. They got a washed-up wide receiver that turned out to be injured and absolutely invisible during that playoff run. When they needed him, he wasn't around. So now he goes to the Miami Dolphins, who have Tua Tagovailoa, signed to a big-time contract, deservedly so. Kid played well, stayed healthy. That's what happens. If you're a good starting quarterback, you're going to get paid. Also, Ja'Marr Chase on my mind. Tyreek Hill on one side. Wasn't up for a contract, guys. How about that? Hear that, Cincinnati? Got paid. Got paid a lot of money on a nice little extension to re-up and cash, give him some cash flow in that deal. Jaylen Waddle, superstar, up-and-coming, unbelievably talented wide receiver. He was up for an extension. And how about that, Cincinnati? They gave him that extension. But also, along the way in the offseason, Odell Beckham was signed. Now, we were led to believe that, I guess, healthy, maybe a little bit banged up. He signs with them. Months go by, we don't hear anything. OTA's not practicing, but a lot of people don't pay all that much attention to OTAs to begin with. And, you know, there's not really too much to read into other than guys not there or guys injured or whatever it might be. You get to training camp now. Odell Beckham Jr. still on that pup list. Like, he's going to miss like the first couple weeks, whatever. It's like, that's really interesting. Like, why would you sign an aging, washed up wide receiver if you think he has one more go around? The last thing you need is for him to be injured, which apparently he is. Now we find out he's not even going to practice, guys, in the preseason. He's not going to play in a preseason game. He's not going to work out in training camp. And now he's on the pup list to start the season. And what does that mean? He's going to miss mandatory the first four games of the year. We don't even know if that's a time frame where he's going to come back after that. And quite frankly, sometimes I understand why teams don't talk about a certain situation because it might not be a big deal. But when you sign a player of the stature, at least name-wise, of Odell Beckham, we're expecting to see him on a day-to-day basis, maybe a press conference, maybe answer any questions. But I don't think anybody thought that this offseason, and again, Odell Beckham straight up washed, didn't sign for a lot of money. Could he fit in as a third wide receiver on a dominant, heavy 1-2 wide receiver punch? Maybe he could find his niche. 35 to 45 catches, running against single coverage. Maybe he can beat his man from time to time. You can see where the value might be in Odell, who's done it before at a high level in the NFL. But I don't think if you'd have told the Dolphins, they can make whatever they say up at this point. Remember, you know, Todd Bowles for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Hey, Todd, Tom Brady just left camp. Yeah, I knew about that since February. No, you didn't. You lied. You covered it up, and that's typically what happens in the NFL. But I don't think anybody was going to think that, hey, you know what, Odell? I'm going to sign you. I don't know what he signed, March, April, whenever it was, months ago. Yeah, you know what? You're banged up, you're injured, and I don't even know if you're going to be able to play next year, but we'll sign you and keep you on the roster. I don't think that. Like, they had to get blindsided by whatever this, and also by calling it a procedure that he had in the offseason. You're not even letting us know even what happened in that procedure. Is it an ankle? Is it the knee that's bothered him? Was his shoulder out of whack? Is it a neck injury at this point? We don't know. We just know it's a procedure that somehow keeps you out from March, April, May, June, July, August, and September. 7 months. Did he get a brand new knee construction out here? Is that what happened to Odell Beckham Jr.? I mean, come on now. Inquiring minds want to know. But we didn't really see much out of the NFL landscape yesterday. Bailey Zappe got cut. Congratulations. That's going to reshape the future free agent market of NFL quarterbacks. No, we didn't see all that much yesterday. Tim Patrick was thought to maybe getting traded from the Denver Broncos as a wide receiver. Looks like he's going to wind up here with the Lions. There wasn't a lot of intrigue yesterday for players that will let go. There'll be fodder for some other teams to pick up, you know, second and third string linemen, linebackers, special teams players. We get that. But there wasn't a lot of intrigue overall, per se. Kyren Williams news comes out yesterday for the Rams that star running back is going to return punts. Like, that's what we were getting yesterday. That's one of the big bullet points of the day. Kyren Williams will be a punt returner as well as a running back for the Los Angeles Rams. Now, we are waiting because it sits today. It's August 28th. Tomorrow will be August 29th, and that is a Thursday. And tomorrow, 1 week away, you will be watching professional football live from Arrowhead with the Ravens and the Chiefs, and the boys will be in studio for Pro Football Today. Kickoff all the way till final snap. In-play bets, fun, laughs, analysis, you get it. It's Joe Lisi, it's Donnie Wrightside, and it's Kevin Walsh. We did it last year. Now we are going to be staying for the full game on Monday Night Football and Thursday Night Football. So when they kick off at 8:15, we'll be there. When they close the game down at 11:15, we will be there. No longer are we going to be doing the pregame before the show, so we can stay for the entirety of the football game to have some fun with. So keep an eye on that as well. And then, of course, Pro Football Today, Sunday mornings, 10 a.m., live from studio, Joe Lisi, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh for the remainder of the entire regular season and into the postseason right through to the Super Bowl. So the Super Sports Grid Network, we got you covered. The boys are back, the camaraderie is there, and we are ready for fun, which starts, once again, next Thursday night. Now, shout out. Next Friday, Eagles, Packers. I'm actually going to be able to be home and watch that in the comfort of the DRS household, screaming at my TV when things go good and bad for the Philadelphia Eagles. It's football season, baby. It's here, but you know what? It's time to get down to business. There is money to be made in baseball, and we'll get it started next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. Donnie Wrightside here on a solo mission on a Wednesday. Enjoying it. Major League Baseball. Profits are high. Monday was fantastic. Maybe my best day of the entire month. Yesterday, profitable once again, and a lot of fun and a lot of wagers, which we're going to get to here. Yesterday, Major League Baseball. Were there any surprises? I mean, technically, yes. Cubs 9-5 over the Pirates. That really was a surprise. No, but back-to-back days where the Cubs have absolutely hammered Pittsburgh Pirates pitching. Maybe that stops today because you know why Paul Skeens will be on the mound. The Philadelphia Phillies back-to-back victories over the Astros, which included yesterday's 5-0 win, which saw Aaron Nola absolutely sensational yesterday, picking up his 12th win of the season and lowering his ERA to a 3.30, which is tremendous. And by the way, I'm trying to scroll down because I saw an account, or excuse me, a Bet365 on X on social media, tweeted out a stat line here, which I'm going back. I doubt I'm going to be able to find it at this point. Let me see. Go back a little bit more. All right, it's not popping up on my thing, but it was basically saying how good Aaron Nola has been for the last 5 to 6 years in Major League Baseball. Hella durable, with a ton of starts, ton of strikeouts, ton of wins. He's been fantastic for the Phillies. Now, sometimes maligned and not giving his best effort every single night, like you expect an ace or at least a high number two to give you, but he's been nothing short of great for the Phillies, and certainly durability is a key. If you're pitching into the seventh inning in Major League Baseball games, you are doing yourself a good job and a service to your organization. He was great yesterday. Verlander got touched up early in that game, which included a Nick Castellanos 3-run home run. The Royals continue to surge in the AL Central. A 6-1 victory yesterday against the Guardians, which saw the Royals pound out 9 hits, and the Guardians just limp right now on offense. 1 run, 3 hits, scrambling around. If they lose again today to the Royals, they will find themselves out of first place, and the Royals will be the rightful owners of the crown in the AL Central. The Athletics beat the Reds 5-4. Surprising effort here in the capital city. Gerrit Cole was on the mound. He wasn't bad yesterday, but what happened to that Yankees offense? Only getting 2 runs total, and one of the biggest plays of the game, which again hurt me a little bit, my RBI props yesterday. You're never going to get a great price on Aaron Judge to get an RBI. It was minus 115 on the Bet365. He did drive in a run, but didn't get an RBI because he hit into a ground ball double play, which always stinks. Like, you see the run scores, like, hey, I got this, and find that it's a double play. You don't get the cash in that, you know, RBI prop. Those are always tough times. Red Sox upend the Blue Jays 6-3. The Braves 8-6 over the Twins in 10 innings. That one looked like the Braves were going to walk away an easy victor, and then the bullpen gave way. They get the extras, and the Braves put up 4 runs in the top of the 10th inning. The Twins put up 2, which helps them get over the total, but the Braves still hang on for a victory. Told you yesterday, I thought the Padres would be very good at the plate yesterday. They got 10 hits and 7 runs to put away the Cardinals and stay hot, picking up their 76th win of the season. The Giants and the Brewers got the 9 runs. I didn't think they'd get that high with the pitching matchup that was set up, but credit the Giants for pulling that one out over the Brewers. And if you had the game, I'm telling you right now, Coors Magic, it is a real thing, people. You enter into the ninth inning with a 4-run lead for Colorado. 5 runs in the top of the ninth inning by the Miami Marlins gives them a 9-8 victory yesterday over the Colorado Rockies. So if you were writing down where you were going to spend that cash by taking the Colorado Rockies at home and ended up getting robbed on the way out, the Mets and the Diamondbacks, the Mets get a bounce back victory, 8-3 over the Diamondbacks, 13 hits for them. Sean Manaea was great. He now improves his seasonal numbers to 10-5 and an ERA of 3.51. In games that you just figure will stay under, under, and more unders, you guessed it. That is the Rays, and that is the Mariners. As boring as it gets, late night out there, sleepless in Seattle. Sleepless is typically what that Mariners offense gives you, as they only got 5 hits yesterday and plated 2 runs. The shocker of the night, though, at least for me, but I did win money. FanDuel Sportsbook had that odds boost, minus 150 boosted to plus 100. It was Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts to at least get a base hit. Ohtani got 2 of those base hits early. I actually went to sleep, so I'm assuming Betts in his last at bat got that single, which cashed in that ticket, which was great. I did have RBI props in this game, I believe on, I want to say, was it Teoscar Hernandez? Definitely. Kike Hernandez, I did have as well. He didn't get one. And I can't go back to the list. I'm assuming it might have been Mookie Betts, because I think I left Ohtani out of it. And Betts did not wind up getting an RBI. So a little bit disappointing in that aspect, but a big time win for the Orioles. And how about Cole Irvin, who I was slandering yesterday, people? 4 1/3 innings pitched, 2 earned runs. Puts them in that game enough for them to win it, and the Orioles walk away with the victory. Let's start that handicapping process next. It's afternoon baseball, and we are going to get to the bottom of it right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey now, Major League Baseball, who says no? Not this guy. You know we're ready to make some money today. You know we're going to have some fun. You know we got afternoon baseball action across the board. 12:35 start, Cubs, Pirates, 1:10 start, Royals, Guardians, 4:05 start, Astros, Phillies, 4:10 start, Rays, and Mariners. Then we have a game that, I guess, it's not really a doubleheader, but the Texas-Chicago game, the White Sox, is going to start at 5:10 tonight as sort of like a remake from yesterday, and then have their game is scheduled tonight starting at 8:10. So we got some bonus baseball tonight and some pretty good games to look at. But if we are eyeing up the pitchers on the card today, just looking at the past 60 days, minimum 20 innings pitched. I got 24 pitchers on the mound today. And I do love this, too, because the usual suspects always show up for us. The guys that you want to fade, the guys that you want to pick on at this point. If we start with the pitchers that we're trying to not fade today, and that means let's go with an under 4 xFIP number. There are 10 of those pitchers on the card today with a minimum of 20 innings pitched over the past 60 days that line up in that fashion. Kyle Freeland of the Colorado Rockies, 3.96. Michael Wacha of the Kansas City Royals, 3.95. Carlos Rodon of the New York Yankees, 3.82. Spencer Arrighetti of the Houston Astros, 3.75. Andre Pallante, St. Louis Cardinals, 3.71. Brian Bello, Boston Red Sox, 3.67. Luis Castillo, Seattle Mariners, 3.34. David Festa, how about that name? Minnesota Twins, 3.24. Top two pitchers on the card today. No surprises here, guys. It's Paul Skenes of the Pittsburgh Pirates, 3.03. And the best pitcher on the card here today, how about this? Chris Sale, 2.56. Those are the pitchers that we want to stay away from. Now, we open the market up. You guys know, we want to be more in that 4.75 or higher xFIP number in order for a good chance for some of our batters to do damage. But just looking at 11 through 24 on the card, those are pitchers with xFIPs above a 4. And that starts with Corbin Burns. Typically in the past, we'd see Burns, guys, much higher up our list. But he's been leaking oil as of late. Did you know, over his past 60 days, 52 and two-thirds innings pitched, his ERA is a 5.30. And his xFIP number now, slightly over 4 at a 4.02. Next in line, that's Kyle Harrison, San Francisco Giants, 4.16. Tanner Bibee, Cleveland Guardians, 4.21. Chris Bassitt, Toronto Blue Jays, 4.34. Tyler Alexander, Tampa Bay Rays, 4.43. Luis Severino, New York Mets, 4.44. Griffin Canning, Los Angeles Angels, 4.47. Kenta Maeda of the Detroit Tigers, 4.55. Freddy Peralta, Milwaukee Brewers, 4.67. Mackenzie Gore of the Washington Nationals, 4.74. Now we get into the danger zone pitchers here. 4.75 or above. There are four of those pitchers on the card today. Osvaldo Baido, Oakland Athletics, 42 and a third innings pitched. He's actually got a 2.55 ERA, but that xFIP number is 4.76. Kyle Hendricks of the Chicago Cubs, his last 43 and a third innings pitched, a 5.61 ERA and an xFIP number of 4.82. Max Meyer of the Miami Marlins, 29 and a third innings pitched, 7.36 ERA, 5.03 xFIP number. And the guy that I think we faded just about every single time he's taken the mound this year, it's Chris Flexen. Get this, guys. Flexen, in his last 60 days, has 49 innings pitched total. That's 10 starts. He's 0-5 in those 10 starts. His ERA, 5.69. His xFIP number, 5.71. A disaster. So those are the guys that we want to get after. But let's take a look here and start to set the table on these games themselves. Because even though sometimes those pitchers are in that no man's land per se, you might get a batter that's so hot, you just got to buck that trend. The Pittsburgh Pirates and the Chicago Cubs going to start off today, Wednesday, 12:35 Eastern. Minus 167 favorite towards the Pittsburgh Pirates. They're a heavy favorite. Why? Paul Skenes is on the mound. Even though that Chicago Cubs lineup let us down Sunday, but really picked up the gas on Monday and Tuesday, this is a different kind of pitcher he's going to be facing at home today. And even though that batters, it's going to say the Chicago Cubs batting lineup is really good against right-handed pitching over the past 30 days, we're out on that. Paul Skenes, tough matchup, leave it alone. But Kyle Hendricks, I just told you, out of 24 pitchers, Kyle Hendricks today for the Cubs is listed at 23 overall, an ERA of a 5.61 and an xFIP of 4.82. If we look at his last 30 days, and quite frankly, if you look at the season, Kyle Hendricks has really struggled with left-handed batters. If we go 219 total in the season that he's faced, a 215 ISO and a weighted on-base percentage of 385, that's high. If we isolate it to the past 30 days, a 3.63 weighted on-base percentage and an ISO power number of 162. Here's the problem. There's a lot of right-handed batters on this team that make some sense for the Pirates. The one I would say that probably should be in your lineup, not Brian Reynolds, not O'Neill Cruz, not Rowdy Tellez, not Billy McKinney, Yasmani Grandal in the 7-hole today, guys. 39 plate appearances against right-handed pitching over the past month, a 412 ISO, and a weighted on-base percentage of 465. That's probably a guy you should look towards in that lineup. But sometimes you know me. I'm a little bit superstitious, and I know you shouldn't be, with afternoon baseball games. Like if there's an outlier, which is, let's just say, one guy, right? Just one guy on a roster lineup, like I got to get that RBI. Sometimes it doesn't work out. You feel just the afternoon messing with your mind. And then you find yourself not betting Yasmani Grandal and his first plate appearances. He gets up with runners on second and third, singles into the outfield, and two RBIs come home. That could have made some money in that one. But if there was one batter I would pick in this game, it would be Yasmani Grandal at 12:35. Kansas City and Cleveland, boy, oh boy, Kansas City by the end of the day could be in first place in the AL Central. Who would have thought that just a few short weeks ago? Kansas City playing good baseball, Cleveland struggling a little bit. Michael Wacha's been on the mound over the last 30 days, has had some pretty good numbers here. Ramirez and Naylor, the usual suspects in the building, but not a lot to love for the rest of that lineup. For Kansas City, Bybee's going to be on the mound for the Guardians. He's got decent numbers. If we look at his season, should I say last 60 days, right? 13th on a card today of 24, 4.21 xFIP, ERA 3.38. A lot of good batters in that lineup, but maybe one of those where you're hoping for that perfect storm and you're just not going to get it in that game. Let's shift our focus here to Houston and Philadelphia. Taijuan Walker, a lot of people here, and you guys know I'm a Phillies fan, a lot of people not happy with Taijuan Walker being in that starting lineup still because it hasn't shown anything since coming back off of the IL. He's going to go up against Spencer Arrighetti. Typically, you're supposed to be the better pitcher over Arrighetti regardless. But Arrighetti's last 60 days, guys, not bad. He's actually 7th on the card out of 24 pitchers today. His last 51 and two-thirds innings pitched, 3.75 xFIP number. And that Phillies lineup, even though they've sort of broke out a little bit over the past 4 to 5 days, there's still a lot of question marks there. The one thing that's not a question mark today, 95 degrees in Philadelphia at Citizens Bank Ballpark, more of a left-to-right wind, which means left foul pole to right foul pole, slight help to those left-handed batters. Schwarber and Realmuto have good numbers, but is that enough to trust? Flip it over to Houston's side. And I told you, Taijuan Walker has been bad. For the totality of the season, a 248 ISO and a weighted on-base percentage of 389. That's bad. The last 30 days, right-handed batters have been absolutely clubbing this guy. So if we're looking at batters that you will trust in this lineup today, Altuve's a righty. Doesn't have great numbers over the past 30 days against right-handed batters. Bregman, I'm going to trust. And Yainer Diaz, I'm going to trust. So two of those guys that make sense. Maybe Jeremy Pena. He's got some decent ISO power numbers against right-handed pitching over the past month, but not a great weighted on-base percentage. So Bregman and Diaz. The Phillies could be in a little bit of trouble today, but more importantly, if Taijuan Walker does get hammered, is he out of the rotation altogether for the Phillies? They would like to have him for the remaining parts of August and September to sort of help that starting pitching staff. But who knows? We'll be right back to talk much more Major League Baseball next right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, Usher. Oh, yeah. We could just dance all the way through till football season starts next Thursday in the NFL. We could do it. We can. But Major League Baseball is here. You got an unbelievable slate of college football games this weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. A lot of fun and a lot of money, hopefully, in your pocket here. We just got done talking about that Houston Astros-Philadelphia Phillies game. And if we are, let me just get some updated numbers here. Let me just see on my odds board what we're kicking in right now. Because it was showing a little bit earlier, really like a 50-50 odd split. Come on now. There we go. All right, so we're back. Let's see what we got here. Yeah, still there. Minus 115 either way on a lot of outlets here. A 10 total, which I do think we get runs today in Philadelphia. Even though that Phillies lineup doesn't show all that well, Arrigetti I do think can be hit. He's the better pitcher on the mound today than Taijuan Walker. I do believe that, which gives the Astros the benefit of the doubt. But I do think in the middle of that lineup, even though Taijuan Walker actually has decent numbers over his last 31 at-bats, or batters, I should say, from lefties, maybe you do look at Yordan Alvarez as well. He's been just red hot. I don't know. Maybe even a team total for the Houston Astros. They didn't score yesterday, so I know sometimes people really don't want to go back and, you know, say, I know, let me wait till they wake up. I think everybody wakes up against Taijuan Walker. Now, me as a Phillies fan, I hope Taijuan Walker absolutely shuts the door. They sweep the Astros and keep moving on. But this one might be a tough one for the Phillies to get through. Other 4 o'clock game today, Tampa Bay and Seattle. Drew Rasmussen will be on the mound today. Not really looking to tangle with him. Luis Castillo, he does have some elevated ISO and weighted on base percentages over the past month. But if we look at his last 60-day numbers here, he's fourth on the card today with 3.34. And we know that game stinks, man. What's the total now? What's the updated total here? Let me see. Afternoon action. Let me hit the clicker. 4 o'clock. 7 is the total across the board. I don't know if we get 8. I don't know if we get 8 in that game. I'm not going to bet it either way, but my goodness. When you're looking for options, those are the last two teams I want to check out. Angels and the Tigers. Griffin Canning on the mound today, which we told you. 17th out of 24 on pitching prospects today. 6.14 ERA over the past 60 days and a 4.47 XFIP number. Right-handed pitcher, average against lefties, average against righties. On the season, he's really struggled primarily, though, with left-handed batters. Kerry Carpenter probably going to be on my card today. Riley Green and Parker Meadows. Those three guys have legitimate chances, I believe, today to cash in some tickets. So some food for thought there. Mason Englert will be on the mound today for the Detroit Tigers. 84 batters on the season. He's gotten lit up. No batters that he's faced the last 30 days. Hard to really judge that at this point. Let's move forward to Oakland and Cincinnati. Osvaldo Beto is on the mound today. He's bad. At least his, let's just say, analytical numbers are bad. His ERA, really good, 2.55. His XFIP, terrible, 4.76. He's going up against a really good-looking lineup today for the Reds. This game starts at 6:40, 91 degrees at first pitch with the wind blowing out to right center field. That's what we like to see. If you're looking to just say, Donnie, throw out the numbers that Beto has with XFIP and just look at what he's done on the field, it's actually been really good, guys. It's an 086 ISO and a 272 weighted on base percentage. If we focus on just his past 30 days and 109 batters, guys, that's an 075 ISO and a weighted on base percentage against of 259. He's been really, really good. But look at the heart of that order for the Reds against right-handed pitching over the past month. De La Cruz, very good. Stevenson, very good. Friedel, Steer, France, Smith, all very good. So sometimes are you going to trust those analytical numbers? Or are you going to go with what you've seen and his 2.55 ERA? Always tough. I usually lean, you know me, to those analytical numbers because they're the ones I trust. But looking at those numbers, maybe you have to get down. Yesterday went a little J.J. Bleday action, got nothing out of the Oakland Athletics, but Fernando Cruz is on the mound today, who threw 228 batters, has really struggled against lefties this season, including his last 19 batters he's faced. Are we back on the J.J. Bleday train today? Last 72 at-bats he's had, 226 ISO, weighted on base percentage, 372. Is that where we're going today? Are we going back to the well with the Oakland Athletics and J.J.? I think we might have to. So, all right, so got some good options here. Nation's Capital let down yesterday, had Aaron Judge get an RBI, drove a run in, wasn't an RBI because it was a double play. Boo-hoo at that point. Carlos Rodon is going to take the mound today, and Carlos Rodon is 8th out of 24 on my pitching matchup card, 3.64 ERA, 3.82 XFIP number. Struggling a little bit, as lefties do with right-handed batters. probably going to stay away from that lineup for the Washington Nationals today. Mackenzie Gore is on the mound. Now, here's the interesting part about Mackenzie Gore. If we line up his numbers, his last 46 and two-thirds innings pitched over the past 60 days, he's got a 4.74 xFIP number and a 6.17 ERA. So he's susceptible to getting hit. And also, in the nation's capital, having a heat wave here on the East Coast, 95 degrees at first pitch. That should have an impact. Now, also, 393 weighted on base percentage to righties, but a 136 ISO. So guys are getting on base, but not necessarily driving the ball with any sort of, I don't know, panache, if you will. Lefties have always gotten the best of Gore. Soto's numbers are off the charts. So if you had to pick, actually, there's three guys in the lineup I think you can roll with tonight and make a profit. That's Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, and Jazz Chisholm. Those are the three guys I'd go with. Now, granted, Gleyber Torres does have some really good numbers out of that leadoff spot. So there's four batters that are a possibility. But, of course, you don't just like to go all four batters in a game a lot unless you're putting them in multiple, which I might do tonight, to be honest. Had a lot of fun yesterday, multiple round robins. Soto, Judge, and Chisholm really stand off the charts right now. And if you're probably saying the best batter tonight, if you just had to pick one of those, it's probably going to be Juan Soto. 50 at-bats against left-handed pitching over the last month, 500 ISO, and a 476 weighted on base percentage. That's really good. It is. Toronto and Boston tonight. Chris Bassett's going to be on the mound. His numbers, pedestrian, 6.04 ERA, which is ridiculous, and a 4.34 xFIP number. Bassett struggles with left-handed batters. You know what the Boston Red Sox bring to the table, people. It's left-handed batters. Off-the-charts numbers, Duran, Casas, Devers, Abreu, Yoshida, the usual suspects are going to be able to do damage there. Brian Bello's on the mound tonight for those Boston Red Sox, struggling against lefties on the season. Spencer Horwitz, Addison Barger. By the way, Addison Barger got an RBI last night. I think he does it again tonight. I'm feeling good about the card tonight, people. We got one more segment to go and a couple more games to see if we can sprint through. Money to be made on Moneyline. What a novel concept. I'm Donnie Wrightside. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Segment here. Fantastic stuff. The best hour of your day? Absolutely. Let's sprint to the finish here. Atlanta and Minnesota today. You saw yesterday a wild game in the Twin Cities that Atlanta scored four times in the top of the 10th inning. Minnesota scored twice in the bottom of the 10th inning. Atlanta walks away with a victory after having an easy win taken away, then got it back here. If you're looking for runs tonight, they might be a lot tougher to come by. Chris Sale, best pitcher on my card today, 54 innings pitched over the past 60 days. 2.56 xFIP number. Stellar. Phenomenal. You know who he's going up against? David Enjoy the Festa. 31 and a third innings pitched for him over the past 60 days. And how about this, guys? 4.60 ERA, which is high, but a 3.24 xFIP number. I think we might be staying under the total in Minnesota tonight. San Diego and St. Louis, tales old as time. Joe Musgrove, the better pitcher on the mound, going up against a limping lineup. And that Padres lineup is cooking with grease. But going up against Andre Pallante. Pallante is sixth on the card with a 3 ERA and 3.71 xFIP number. Pallante's got very good statistics on the season with both ISO and weighted on base percentage. Something has to give tonight, and I do think it's going to be the St. Louis Cardinals giving away another game to the San Diego Padres. Game number two, I should say today, even though it's not really a doubleheader, Rangers and the White Sox. The Texas Rangers, a heavy favorite in game number two. Jack Leiter, supposed to be on the mound. Didn't have a great start to the season. 55 batters he's faced. He got lit up. He's back on the mound. Obviously, in a game that you're going to need your pitcher to go innings. I don't know how this one shapes up. Tuki Toussaint's on the mound for the Chicago White Sox. He's got terrible numbers. But again, not a lot of effort. 83 batters that Tuki Toussaint has faced here over the past month. He's got a high ISO and weighted on base percentage towards lefties, which could bring you over to Corey Seager. Might be a good opportunity, but not a love of that game by any stretch here. Kyle Harrison on the mound for the San Francisco Giants as they take on the Milwaukee Brewers today. Harrison, the lefty. Where's he on my card here? Is he up high? Is he up low? What's he got? 84 batters over the past 30 days. I think he's got enough numbers to qualify here for San Francisco. Let's see here. There we go. 12th on the card. 4.08 ERA, 4.16 xFIP, so pedestrian numbers both ways. Struggles a little bit with right-handed bats, but not a great lineup for the Brewers in place. Outside of Contreras and Joey Ortiz, not a lot to love in that lineup tonight. Freddy Peralta on the mound for the Milwaukee Brewers. Freddy's 19th on my card out of 24 pitchers tonight with a 4.67 xFIP number over the past 60 days. He does struggle with right-handed bats. Ramos, 66 at-bats over the past month, 220 ISO power number. Chapman, 279 ISO through 68 at-bats. McCray actually has decent numbers through 30 at-bats, but as a left-handed pitcher, I don't know if I'm going to be dipping into the card there. Out to the mile-high city that saw Coors Magic last night by those Marlins, pulling out a victory from the jaws of defeat late in that game. Max Meyer is on the mound, one of the worst pitchers on the card today. His last 29 and a third innings pitched a 7.36 ERA and an xFIP of over 5. You know where we're going, right to the heart of that lineup again. Rodgers, Toglia, and Cave. Shout out Jake Cave. Back-to-back nights with RBI at decent numbers in Coors, and also, guys, 87 degrees at first pitch, wind blowing out to right field at Coors. That is phenomenal. We're going to be getting after Max Meyer. Flip it over to the other side here and take a look at Kyle Freeland, who also not a great pitcher overall. He's about average across the board. 4.24 ERA, xFIP number 3.96. Good-looking lineup, however. Right-handed batters, you're probably going to have to get after the Burger Man, who's got off-the-charts numbers overall. He's probably going to be on your list. Same thing with Connor Norby. Even though they have high strikeout numbers between Norby and Burger, both right-handed batters, I think I'm probably going to go 1-2 punch there in that game with Norby and Burger, matched up with a couple of those Colorado Rockies. New York Metropolitans and the Arizona Diamondbacks. Luis Severino is on the mound today. 117 batters he's faced over the past 30 days. A 219 ISO and a weighted on-base percentage of 364. 16th on my card today at a 4.71 ERA and a 4.44 xFIP number. That lineup for the Diamondbacks looks absolutely delicious. And from the left-hand side, which is where you want to attack, Carroll, McCarthy, Peterson, Bell, right off that lineup, and certainly can follow that up with Adrian Del Castillo in that six hole. So we're going to look in the eat from that angle. Eduardo Rodriguez, not a great pitcher, struggling with right-handed batters. He's only seen 68 total batters this season, but the Mets, not a great lineup when facing left-handed pitching. Having said that, you know who's going to be on your lineup tonight? That's Lindor, that's Alonso, and that's J.D. Martinez. So we're looking for runs out there in the desert. Final game tonight, Baltimore and Los Angeles. Corbin Burnes, Walker Buehler. Buehler looking to bounce back. Burnes not having a great second half to the season. I do give a slight edge to the Los Angeles Dodgers in that game. That'll do it for today's show on a hump day Wednesday. Tomorrow, week one of college football begins, and we will be 1 week away from the start to the NFL season. For JP behind the wheels of steel, Donnie Wrightside, see you tomorrow. Thanks for tuning in.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
L-E-T-E-N-E-T. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.